KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network. And we are going to be having a news roundup day today. A lot of stories that Sandy's been compiling through the course of this week. We'll seek to bring you as many topics and stories as possible here today. Again, the stacks exceed the minutes, but nonetheless, we'll get into it and certainly underscore the importance of our shining the truth of God's Word in such a time as this. We see the problems of the decay that's happening in society today, and the answer is Jesus Christ. People need to come to faith in Christ, and certainly we find that it is critical to let our light shine before men. We need to be salt. We need to be light. And certainly the stories that we will be sharing with you today will bear that out in so many different cases here. We're going to begin our news roundup today with a WesternJournal.com story regarding the Manhattan District Attorney's Office has said that it will not prosecute arrest for unlawful assembly or disorderly conduct related to recent demonstrations held to the protesting the death of George Floyd. Under the new policy, the DA's office declines to prosecute these arrests in the interest of justice, the office said in a statement on its website. Although unlawful assembly and disorderly conduct were the only two charges singled out, the statement said the Manhattan DA's office will also continue to evaluate and decline to prosecute other protest-related charges where appropriate. Protests are in some cases riots have raged for more than a week in New York City, leading to injuries to both police and protesters, as well as to damage to Manhattan, Brooklyn, and other parts of the city. But the DA is saying we're going to have this blanket policy of dropping charges against protesters. Now, LifeNews.com reports a protester accused of vandalizing one of the nation's most historic churches, St. Patrick's Cathedral, will not be prosecuted. The New York City church was vandalized on May 30th with spray paint and slogans, including No Justice, No Peace, and BLM, that stands for Black Lives Matter. The New York Police Department recently reported arresting one of the people allegedly involved in the vandalism, charged with criminal mischief in the third degree, making a graffiti alleging that he was the getaway driver for the two women who tagged the famous house of worship with spray-painted slogans on May 30th. On Saturday, however, the New York District Attorney's Office decided not to prosecute. It's very interesting because there is the charging that police have been left out of the conversation. WND.com has a story. They've been left out of the conversation over race and law enforcement. In the wake of the George Floyd death, the visibly angry head of the New York Police Union accused the media and the state legislators of vilifying police like animals and thugs. I'd like you to hear this clip here from Michael O'Meara, the head of the New York Police Benevolent Association, as he shared with a group of officers standing right behind him. As he does so, he's referencing his badge that he's holding up at the time. Let's listen in.
This isn't stained by someone in Minneapolis. It's still got a shine on it. And so do theirs. So do theirs. Stop treating us like animals and thugs. And start treating us with some respect. That's what we're here today to say. We've been left out of the conversation. We've been vilified. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Trying to make us embarrassed of our profession. 375 million interactions. Overwhelmingly positive. Nobody talks about all the police officers that were killed in the last week in the United States of America, and there were a number of them. We don't condone Minneapolis. We roundly reject what he did as disgusting. It's disgusting. It's not what we do. It's not what police officers do. Our legislators abandoned us. The press is vilifying us. Well, you know what, guys? I'm proud to be a cop. And I'm going to continue to be proud to be a cop. until the day I retire. And that's all I have to say.
Michael O'Meara, head of the New York Police Benevolent Association, as he assured that, just saying, stop treating us like animals and thugs. Here we have from WesternJournal.com, a lawyer speaking on behalf of former Minneapolis Police Chief Officer Thomas Lane on Thursday. Disclosed that both Lane, this would be last week Thursday, and the other fired officer, J. Alexander, I believe it's Keene, were less than a week into training with Derek Chauvin as their supervisor when George Floyd died. Lane was on his third shift as an officer, and Keene was on his fourth. Collectively, the two had spent a week in uniform under Chauvin's guidance and before being charged as co-conspirators in the death of Floyd. Attorney Earl Gray claims that Lane had little option but to follow his senior officer's guidance, and he calls the case levied against Lane extremely weak. According to the Associated Press report, Lane reportedly held Floyd's feet, according to Gray, while Chauvin knelt on the handcuffed man's neck for roughly 9 minutes. Gray also alleges that Lane was concerned about Floyd's well-being during the arrest and Chauvin to consider readjusting Floyd's position. What was my client supposed to do but follow his training officer, following what his training officer said? Is that aiding and abetting a crime? Gray asked, according to the Associated Press. That issue will certainly be playing out in the courts. We understand also that there is allegations now coming from the individual who was connecting George Floyd with Chauvin in a previous job, said now that he was mistaken in regard to that, but it was another individual as that was that individual, not George Floyd. The Daily Signal reporting that protesters attacked Christopher Columbus statues in Richmond, Virginia and Boston on Tuesday night. The Columbus statue in Richmond Bird Park was toppled, set on fire, thrown into a nearby lake. The Boston statue, located in Christopher Columbus Park, was discovered decapitated on Wednesday morning. Western Journal reporting Mayor Bill de Blasio said Tuesday that New York City will name a street in each borough for Black Lives Matter. And in case the message is not clear, the slogan Black Lives Matter will be painted on the streets. We know that there is a big effort to defund police, and an interesting story that came from CMS from frontpagemag.com is that the Los Angeles Police Department announced Tuesday that homicides in the city increased 250% over the previous week, and the number of people who were shot increased by 56% during the same period. That was the increase in numbers recorded during the week of May 31st through June 6th. So you defund the police officers, you fund crime, murders up 250% 1 week over the previous. WesternJournal.com reporting at a time when it looks as though anti-cop sentiments couldn't possibly run deeper, the left has just got to go and make things worse. Amid nationwide protests and calls to defund the police, critics are now saying that the children's show Paw Patrol should be canceled. Why? Because of its depiction of good cops. Folks, this is a preschool program, Paw Patrol, and there are those that are pushing for its cancellation because it depicts good officers. The television show put out a statement on its official Twitter account supporting the ongoing protest fighting the myth of systemic racism. Leftist Twitter trolls were quick to respond by condemning the children's show for having the gall to portray one of its characters as a morally upstanding police dog. In an article published by the New York Times Wednesday, critic-at-large Amanda Hess explained that the calls for the cancellation of Paw Patrol are part of a larger movement to end all portrayals of good cops on television. From ToddStarnes.com, restaurants and cafes across the U.S. are beginning to announce that law enforcement will no longer receive discounts at their locations due to police brutality in the wake of the George Floyd protest. Folks, what other job does this happen to? If you have one bad bus driver or one who discriminates or does something atrocious, does this put all bus drivers in that category? Or what about one bad plumber or one bad electrician or one bad teacher? Is this meaning that all are falling into that? Well, apparently so, according to those that are dropping all discounts now for police officers. Allie's Donuts in North Kingston, Rhode Island said, "We're fed up. Until local police take action to solve problems with racism and injustice, Allie's Donuts will choose to stand with the people of our great state. We will no longer offer military or police discounts. Thank you for your service, and shame on you for your silence. Another report out of Columbus, Ohio, said employees at a cafe staged a walkout after the restaurant refused to stop its 50% off discount for law enforcement. Pizza Lucy, a pizza chain in Minneapolis, reportedly announced it would also suspend police discounts. Western Journal reporting on Tuesday, hundreds of people waited in a long line outside Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church to pay their respects to David Dorn, the retired St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department captain who lost his life June 2nd while trying to defend a pawn shop from looters. You will in no way, folks, get the media time. This death of the fallen police officer David Dorn will no way get the media time. Dorn is an African-American. He spent 38 years on the force, saw the importance of keeping his community safe, even after he retired from the police department. And for this reason, he provided security for a pawn shop, periodically checking on the shop whenever an alarm sounded, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Lee's Pawn and Jewelry found itself in the line of fire as protests in the wake of the Floyd's death spiraled out of control. A looter allegedly shot and killed Dorn as the retired police captain tried to protect the store from those who sought to burglarize it. The Minneapolis mayor, this is from DailyWire.com, Minneapolis mayor asking for federal help cleaning up and rebuilding the city after rioters caused at least $55 million worth of damage through looting, burning, and defacing public and private property. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and the state's congressional delegation are also pushing the Trump administration and Congress for funding. We will do everything we can as we shift to recovery mode, the Minneapolis mayor said, according to the Star Tribune. We're recovering from crises sandwiched on top of each other, from COVID-19 to the police killing and then the looting which took place afterwards. City and state officials are attempting to get financial support from Congress or through FEMA. Neither option is looking promising, said Congresswoman Betty McCollum. From Breitbart.com, the owner of a manufacturing plant in Minneapolis says he will move his business out of the city after officials failed to protect his livelihood from being set on fire in riots last month. The owner of Seven Sigma, Chris Wyrobeck, told the Star Tribune in an interview that he plans to leave Minneapolis after protesters, arsonists, and looters wrecked the city in weeks-long riots. His company designs, manufactures, and supplies polymer and metal components and assemblies for printing, medical, aerospace, and industrial companies, has about 50 employees, saying it will not be returning to Minneapolis after it set fire in the riots. He said, "They don't care about my business. They didn't protect our people. We were all on our own. The fire engine just sitting there. They wouldn't do anything. That's the frustrating thing to us." Property damage records reported by the Star Tribune revealed that close to 1,000 commercial properties were left wrecked. 50 of them were entirely destroyed in the riots. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president, author, and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the ark big enough to carry all the animals that needed to be on board?
Most assuredly it was, Chris. The ark was even bigger than it needed to be. Carefully estimating how many different kinds of animals there were before the flood and the average size, we see that the ark was more than sufficient for the task. In fact, it probably could have carried many more animals. I suspect that it also could have carried many more humans, too. But they had all rejected God's offer to repent and get on board. They died in the flood, but there was room on board. Chris, we don't know all the details about the flood, but those that we do know fit very nicely into the Back to Genesis truth of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup Friday today, and we've got a number of stories we're bringing to your attention. We were talking about businesses leaving the city of Minneapolis and the decimation that's happened there. Also being reported here on WesternJournal.com, in recent weeks, roaming groups of rioters used the May 25th death of George Floyd as a pretext to loot and destroy businesses in both big and small communities in the Windy City, big and small areas. The response from the city's Democratic leaders has been less than aggressive, and now they're facing the potential repercussions of that approach. National retail chain stores have been attacked, looted, burned. Now they're closed in many parts of the city. Walmart, according to reports, might not come back, at least not fully. WBBM AM in Chicago reported the Arkansas-based retail giant is assessing which of its locations in the city are worth salvaging after criminals ransacked the stores during the unchecked looting. There isn't a timetable for when the corporate evaluation will be completed, but Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, whose job is to protect the city, now pleading with Walmart and other retailers not to leave the market. From LifeSiteNews.com, Seattle, Washington, a group of anarchists inspired by the Black Lives Matter movement currently control six square blocks of Seattle. The area dubbed the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or CHAZ, by its occupiers, has been under their control since June 8th. Neighborhood centers on the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct driven out. They've driven out the police after 9 days of sometimes violent protest, and they have taken over this area. They have put signs up saying that police are not welcome and to stay out from their area. But there has been some a snickering regarding this, but folks, how much snickering will there be when this six square blocks turns into eight, and then 12, and then a square mile, and on it goes. SpectrumNews1.com reporting, while Los Angeles City Council President Nuri Martinez was filing a motion last week seeking to cut $150 million from the LAPD budget, she had an LAPD unit standing watch outside her home providing her family with a private security detail since April. The round-the-clock protection unit, often staffed by two officers, infuriated some members of the police force when Martinez introduced the motion, which reads in part, "We need a vision for our city that says there's going to be justice." As such, police departments are asked to enforce a system of laws that are designed to reinforce and maintain economic and racial inequality. It's kind of ironic. Here she is demanding $150 million be reallocated from the police budget, but yet she has security at her house by the LAPD, said Detective Jamie McBride, serves as the director of the Los Angeles Police Protective League. That's their union. Neighbors confirm the units have been there for about 2 months. Multiple LAPD sources confirm that the units were directed to provide 24/7 security beginning April 4th at Martinez's home, almost always staffed by two officers. As of May 6th, the detail decreased to 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. with roving patrols checking overnight. Now, isn't that amazing? So here you have the council president calling for a cut of $150 million while they're enjoying security at their home by officers of the department that they're criticizing. From townhall.com, Reverend L. Sharpton, and I put Reverend in quotes, that's how the story reads. He addressed NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell during the address at George Floyd's funeral on Tuesday. According to Sharpton, Kaepernick deserves to be rehired to play professional football in light of what happened to Floyd. He said, all this family wants is justice, only it's nice to see some people change their mind. Head of the NFL said, yeah, maybe we was wrong. Football players, maybe they did have the right to peacefully protest. Well, don't apologize. Give Colin Kaepernick his job back. You sorry, then repay the damage you did to the career you stood down, because when Colin took a knee, he took it for the families in this building, and we don't want an apology. We want him repaired, at which point the audience during this funeral stood up and cheered. Had an interesting phone call this morning. I spoke with an employee of American Family Insurance who is fed up. Fed up because he says we're getting squeezed from every angle. He talked about what has been coming to employees at American Family Insurance in regard to the push right now of webinars and resources, videos to be watched, podcasts they should subscribe to, books they need to read or recommended to be read, that are pursuing a political agenda that is in contrast to the position of the person I spoke with. They have established, American Family has established a toolkit designed to assist an AmFam enterprise employees with resources to address and reduce the effects of systemic racism in our society and their daily work. Some of the articles, and the folks, this is a program in itself, when you start going and looking at the links of the articles that are to be read and books to be read, etc. Some of the articles to be read, Ella Baker in the Black Freedom Movement, My Life as an Undocumented Immigrant, Where Do I Donate? What is the Uprising Violence? Should I Go Protest? Another book is article is White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack. Videos to watch, Black Feminism and the Movement for Black Lives, How Studying Privilege Systems Can Strengthen Compassion. Podcast, Intersectionality Matters. Books to be read, Black Feminist Thought, Eloquent Rage, A Black Feminist Discovers Her Superpower, How to Be an Anti-Racist, Me and White Supremacy, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, films and TV series to watch like The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, The Hate You Give, and then to follow on social media groups like Anti-Racism Center, Color of Change, Equal Justice Initiative, M-Power Change, Muslim Girl, the NAACP. Some of these, when you look, have links that will take you to groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center. And this employee says, I'm fed up with this, and has voiced his objection within the company itself. But we understand that this is the kind of material that is being sent to employees of American Family Insurance in a broad scale. I wonder how many other companies this is happening as well. Now, friends, we do not advocate hate. We are all one race, and we need to get that through our head. God made us in the image, in his likeness, and we are to have love and compassion one toward another. What happened with George Floyd is despicable. It is wrong. We've stated that over and over. Friends, we have to take account of where we are in our society today and the important aspect. Yes, we do need to have love one for another. But some of the issues that are going on, folks, have gone way, way overboard. And we've seen that. We've seen that happen with the rioting and the looting that's happening in cities all across this nation. Have there been peaceful protests? Absolutely. Are there problems in the hearts of people? Absolutely. And we need to deal with these issues. WesternJournal.com reporting an anonymous senior official in the U.S. Army told Fox News that the country's military leadership is closely monitoring national sentiment against honoring Confederate military commanders and might adopt a new policy after years of avoiding the topic. There are currently 10 U.S. military facilities named after Confederate leaders: Fort Rucker in Alabama, Forts Benning and Gordon in Georgia, Fort Polk and Camp Beauregard in Louisiana, Fort Bragg in North Carolina, Fort Hood in Texas, Forts Pickett, A.P. Hill, and Lee in Virginia. Business Insider reported that in 2015, Brigadier General Malcolm Frost stated the bases were named to honor soldiers throughout the country's history and were not endorsement of their ideology. Now, OneNewsNow.com contains a story here where President Donald Trump Wednesday said his administration will not even consider changing the name of any of the 10 Army bases that are named for Confederate Army officers. 2 days earlier, they report that Defense Secretary Mark Esper indicated he was open to a broad discussion of the change. These monumental and very powerful bases have become part of great American heritage, a history of winning victory and freedom, President Trump wrote. The United States of America trained and deployed our heroes on these hallowed grounds and won two world wars. Therefore, my administration will not even consider the renaming of these magnificent and fabled military installations. Turning our attention to another issue, WesternJournal.com tells us at a briefing Monday in Geneva, a top World Health Organization official said that the spread of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 from individuals who are not showing symptoms of illness is now considered very rare. From the data we have, it still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual, said Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove, who is head of WHO's Emerging Diseases and Zoonosis Unit, told reporters in Geneva. According to CNBC, we have a number of reports from countries who are doing very detailed contact tracing, saying, she said, they're following asymptomatic cases, they're following contacts, and they're not finding secondary transmission onward, saying it's very rare. An interesting story here from WND.com, one of China's main propaganda outlets, has paid American newspapers nearly $19 million for advertising and printing expenses over the past 4 years, according to documents filed with the Justice Department. China Daily, an English-language newspaper controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, has paid more than $4.6 million to the Washington Post, nearly $6 million to the Wall Street Journal since November 2016, the records show. Both newspapers have published paid supplements that China Daily produces called China Watch. The inserts are designed to look like real news articles, though they often contain a pro-Beijing spin on contemporary news events. It spent over $11 million on advertising in U.S. newspapers and more than $250,000 on advertising with Twitter. China Daily also has put out more than $7.6 million to newspapers and printing companies for its newspapers for U.S.-based readers. The Los Angeles Times, Seattle Times, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Chicago Tribune, the Houston Chronicle, the Boston Globe are all listed as clients of China Daily. Again, you'll find that story on WND.com as they report it from the Daily Caller. Also from WND.com, the New York Times reported Saturday that former President George W. Bush will not support Mr. Trump's reelection. However, the publication cited people familiar with their thinking who claim not only that George W. Bush would not support Trump, his brother Jeb Bush isn't sure, but a spokesman for the former president, Freddie Ford, called the Times assertion false, saying Bush would steer clear of speaking publicly on the presidential vote. This is completely made up. He's retired from presidential politics, has not indicated how he will vote. We do know, though, from Western Journal that the Texas Land Commissioner, George P. Bush, endorsed President Bush, endorsed President Donald Trump's reelection on Tuesday. He's the son of former Governor Jeb Bush. From WND.com, all it took for the media to remember the coronavirus pandemic and the dangers of big crowds was for President Trump to announce plans for campaign rallies. A commentary by Leah Barcousis at Town Hall cited a warning from NPR about the Trump campaign announced plans. NPR said the rallies will take place despite the deadly coronavirus pandemic, which continues to impact the lives and livelihoods of households across the country. But pointed out that the protests in the wake of George Floyd's death in police custody have been carried out in every state in the nation, small towns, large cities alike, gatherings of hundreds to thousands. But now that President Trump has announced rallies that they will resume, the media suddenly cares about the pandemic once again. Very interesting indeed. Let's take a break here. We'll come back to a few more stories. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung desperately in the balance? From the French and Indian War, the Revolution, the Civil War, and other national events, leaders in our country called the nation to prayer. In the book, Miracles in American History, author Susie Federer, the wife of historian and researcher Bill Federer, recounts 32 amazing stories of answered prayer from American history. You'll read about events such as the winter at Valley Forge, the Boston Tea Party, dense fog that appeared, allowing 8,000 troops to escape, the Star-Spangled Banner, and other events where prayer had an impact. You'll also learn when Apollo 13 was lost in space, what happened after the president called the nation to prayer. It's a reminder as to how badly prayer is needed for our nation today. Copies of Miracles in American History are available for a donation of $18 to BCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. I just want to mention, the other day we interviewed Dr. Titus Kennedy, author of the book Unearthing the Bible. It's a brand new book, 101 Archaeological Discoveries That Bring the Bible to Life. Full color book, you see the photos of those discoveries, and we interviewed him and then mentioned the phone number for our bookstore as well as the website, and they were just inundated with phone calls that we know many got busy signals. We were receiving calls here at Crosstalk VCY America asking again for that number because they weren't able to get through at the time. Keep in mind that that special that they are offering at 50% off, $11.50 plus any applicable tax and shipping, that does extend through the entire month of June. And they mentioned that we also mentioned that the publishers had to go back to a second printing of the book. It's been so popular. It exceeded expectations. And the stock at the publisher was depleted. They're in second printing. So there's going to be just a bit of delay in getting them to you. But you can contact our bookstore. And many of you tried to do so. You got busy signals or others. You can go online 24/7 at VCY.com, VCY.com. But if you tried calling, couldn't get through, or wanted to take advantage of this, you can call toll-free 1-888-722-4829. Again, the book is called Unearthing the Bible, and it's available here at 50% off through the VCY bookstore, one of the June books of the month, 1-888-722-4829. If you missed the interview, go back online, give it a listen to it at crosstalkamerica.com. Well, let's see. Let's get back to a few more stories here today before we open some phone lines. WesternJournal.com, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page made her debut as a national security and legal analyst for NBC News and MSNBC last Friday afternoon. During that segment, she called on government officials to take a courageous stand by speaking out against President Trump. She's known for text messages she exchanged with former FBI agent Peter Stroik. Also interesting from LifeNews.com, they looked at coverage, and they are looking at the, I believe it's the Media Research Council, yes, the Media Research Center, that is, looking at coverage from March 4th. That's after former Vice President Joe Biden essentially locked up the Democratic nomination on Super Tuesday through May 31st. Analysts found that the ABC, CBS, and NBC evening newscasts have minimized or ignored controversies involving Joe Biden, even as they pounded President Trump with the worst press of his presidency. The Media Research Center tallied 474 evaluative comments about President Trump during this period. The vast majority of them, 94%, were negative. Western Journal also reporting that former Vice President Joe Biden has done little to dispel the notion that many people have had that he lacks the mental competency to be president, they report. His continued lapses of judgment and memory have led some to speculate about his apparently slipping. As Biden has continued to run his campaign from his Delaware home, a place where he arguably has control over his messaging, his running mate, whoever that person may be, is one that's going to be able to take over right away. He said in an interview that aired Tuesday, he told CBS Evening News anchor Nora O'Donnell that his pick for vice president will be a person who is ready for the rigorous challenges of leading the country. The presumptive Democratic nominee said he's looking to add someone to his ticket who can be president on day one. Interesting comment there. Also, as Western Journal reports, 5 months out from the 2020 election, Joe Biden is laying the groundwork for Americans to doubt the integrity of the country's political process, tipping the Democratic Party's hand to how it will react to a loss in November. Biden told Comedy Central host Trevor Noah, saying, "It's my greatest concern, my single greatest concern. This president is going to try to steal this election. This is a guy who said that all mail-in ballots are fraudulent." No, I've never heard him say that. "This is a guy who said that all mail-in ballots are fraudulent, voting by mail, while he sits behind the desk in the Oval Office and writes his mail-in ballot to vote in a primary." Very interesting indeed. Talking about how the President Trump would not concede. Matter of fact, in WND.com, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has assured Americans that if he were to win in November and President Trump refused to leave, the military would remove him from the White House with great dispatch. Now, that's interesting because this was, didn't we see some problems with Hillary Clinton not wanting to concede the election and still for years afterwards doubted the legitimacy of the last election? The Epoch Times reporting the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously slapped down a federal judge's ruling forcing Texas to allow all its residents to vote by mail on the theory that the doing so would prevent the transmission of COVID-19. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton indicated he was satisfied with the decision. Allowing universal mail-in ballots, which are particularly vulnerable to fraud, would only lead to greater election fraud and disenfranchise lawful voters, Paxton said in a statement. The unanimous Fifth Circuit ruling puts a stop to this blatant violation of Texas law, he said. Eagle Forum, founded by Phyllis Schlafly, is commending who had commended the Republican National Committee for maintaining the 2016 RNC platform. We understand that there had been a move by Jared Kushner to reduce it all down to one page to take out many of the issues, to make it more of a big tent party, taking away any positions pertaining to so-called conversion therapy and so forth. But we understand now that it's been announced that the RNC is going to maintain the 2016 platform. By the way, the debt of the federal government, from CNSNews.com, topped $26 trillion for the first time on Tuesday. The federal debt topped $24 trillion for the first time April 7th, and then jumped another $1 trillion in just 28 days, toppling $25 trillion for the first time on May 5th. Only 35 days had elapsed from the last debt topping the $25 trillion mark, May 5th to yesterday, or earlier this week, when it topped $26 trillion for the very first time. Let's see, I want to cover a couple other issues. Oh, yeah, here's the Cartoon Network celebrating Pride Month with videos on LGBT families, kid activists. The aggressive promotional campaign features kids expressing pride to be transgendered, queer, and non-binary, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Our world is changing every day, and it's the courage of individuals that brings forth progress, Cartoon Network declared Wednesday. While the world continues to push for equality, Cartoon Network celebrates the people and families within the LGBTQ plus community all month long and all year round. The message, accompanied by a video of various teens and preteens, complete with their preferred pronouns listed on screen, promoting pro-LGBT activism in generic terms of love, standing up, inclusion, and the like. Clips of LGBT parades are intercut with their testimony, which includes with the kids declaring that they are proud to be transgendered, queer, non-binary, and LGBTQ ally. The network's Pride campaign will span throughout the month of June, also hosting a special Pride Month playlist. Cartoon Network. FaithWire.com reporting. Facebook has shut down a special media page for mothers who are opposed to drag queen story hours in neighborhood libraries. On June 1st, the company removed the group 500 Moms Strong, claiming it was transphobic and in violation of the Facebook's community standards, according to the Christian Post. ChristianNews.net reporting the international hamburger franchise Wayback Burgers has announced that they will be offering rainbow sprinkle pride shakes throughout the month of June to recognize Pride Month and will donate funds to the Boys and Girls Club of America that supports and affirms homosexual youth. The statement says, quote, "We are very excited to offer this shake in support of the LGBTQ Pride Month." This is a statement from Wayback Burgers President Patrick Conlin. Said, "We are also proud to support Boys and Girls Club of America and their commitment to providing an inclusive environment for all, including LGBTQ youth." Funds raised throughout the month will be donated to BGCA, which affirms homosexual youth. The organization incorporates an LGBT inclusion initiative into its services and partners with Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, the Human Rights Campaign, the Trevor Project, and the Safe Zone Project. From LGBTQ Nation, Under Armour has released its 2020 Pride collection, and this year the company is going retro. The selection of athletic apparel based on the original hand-dyed Pride flag. This is the third time the company has released a Pride theme collection. LifeSiteNews.com reporting. New standards for sex education in public schools in New Jersey pushing homosexuality and gender ideology, as well as abortion and contraception. Children are taught about giving consent and how to decide whether and when to engage in sexual behaviors. New Jersey. New sex ed for New Jersey minors. Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer made her declaration for June Pride Month, urging residents to promote self-affirmation. Interesting issues going on here all across the nation. Let's see. Oh, this came out from Liberty Counsel today. Liberty Counsel filed an opening brief for the First Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of Boston resident, a resident there, Hal Shurtleff, and his Christian civic organization called Camp Constitution, arguing that the city of Boston violated the First Amendment by censoring a private flag in a public forum merely because it contained a cross. The city refers to its flagpole as a public forum, allows private organizations to temporarily raise their own flags on the flagpoles. However, the city censored the religious viewpoint of Camp Constitution's flag, which is to be raised for about an hour while Camp Constitution supporters gathered below the flag to celebrate Constitution Week. The flag was part of the ceremony to honor the Constitution and recognize the Christian founders. Never has Boston censored any flag until the Christian flag, which is white with the blue square in the upper corner and the red cross. The flag contains no writing. A lower court federal judge sided with the city of Boston's censorship of the Christian viewpoint. And the city's records show Boston has allowed at least 284 applications by private organizations on the city hall flagpoles without denial, except for the Christian flag. Now they've allowed the Boston Pride flag to be up there. The transgender pink and blue flag, they've allowed those that have the Turkish flag that depicts the Islamic star and crescent, the Portuguese flag that has religious imagery, but not the Christian flag. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel filing an appeal now with the first Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of a Boston resident and the Christian civic organization that is represented there. We've got more stories, but we're going to take our last segment to give you opportunity to comment on these or other current event stories. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you'd like to weigh in on some of these topics today here on Crosstalk or other current event items, 800-733-9829. By the way, those of you in the state of Michigan, legislation was introduced that would prohibit an employer from requiring individuals to have an acoustic, optical, mechanical, electronic, medical, or molecular device injected into his or her body as a condition of employment. Interesting, interesting indeed. The bill would not, it's to buck against the trend to implant microchips in order to eliminate key passes. This bill says, no, you cannot do that. It's House Bill number 5672 in Michigan. House Bill number 5672. Our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. There's a 45-page manual out there called Burn Down the American Plantation. It is nothing less than anarchy and communism mixed together. It is calling for the end of the state, the end of police, the end of prisons. It is calling for revolutionary justice. It is calling for attacking conservatives and constitutionalists because we are involved in so-called slavery. It says they must abolish the slavery system, and by that they mean the free market system, and they see our laws and our constitutional republic as an extension of slavery. They even state that the folks in the suburbs, the middle class, are extension of the police, because they sit on juries, they're snitches, and sometimes they're deputized, and they support the police. Therefore, this is why you're going to see them move into the suburbs and try to burn down the suburbs, well, because you're part of the extension of the police. Look out, America is involved in a communist revolution attempt.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, taking your calls here today on Crosstalk for the final segment, 800-733-9829. Let's begin talking to our friend Courtney in Miami, Florida. Hi, Courtney, you're on the air.
Oh, God bless all y'all.
Hello, Courtney. Hello, Courtney. I guess we lost Courtney. We're interested in what you had to say. Call us back, Courtney. Julie in Pensacola, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You know, I wanted to make a comment about Michigan, because I own a home in Michigan, and I recently went up there to clean it all up and get it ready for the summer rentals, because I came from a tourist town. So it has a lot of tourism there and a nice vacation rental. When I got there, that town was like a ghost town. There was nothing open hardly. The grocery store was open, but people inside were wearing masks. Plus, they had like a plastic covering over their face. They were taking extra precautions, but the restaurants were closed. The famous restaurants that were always packed, they were closed. It was like a ghost town walking through that town. It made me feel really sad for them. One other comment that I wanted to make was on this Black Lives Movement, you know, as far as like, you know, the black people are very concerned about what happened, and rightfully so, you know, that man, George Floyd, was killed, and it was wrongfully killed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're going around killing other black people. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And they're just hurting themselves. If they would just let the justice system take care of it, things would go right.
Okay. Thank you, Julie, for your thoughts there. Maxine and Prairie du Chien, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling concerning the Wisconsin governor and the flying of the rainbow flag. And I was able once to leave him a message. Otherwise, the mailbox is full.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been calling the lieutenant governor, and I would be glad to give out the lieutenant governor's phone number.
Okay.
608-266-3516.
3516.
And I encourage folks to call. I've called three times, and I did today get a real person, and she says, you've called before. And I go, yes, I have, and I will call again.
Hmm.
So thank you.
Thank you, Maxine. And the governor's number, by the way, is 608-266-1212. And Tennessee, Barry, you're on the air.
Yes. I believe that we're at that point now where the real church is crying out, even now, come, Lord Jesus, Jesus. You know, there's a remnant that's going to be taken out of him. There's going to be the fake church is going to still be left behind. They're not even going to realize it's even happened. But I'll tell you what, we're at that point. I'm telling you right now that we need to cry out to God. God, you either move upon our ministers, upon our churches to pray, because I'll tell you what, we need to get our house in order, because I'll tell you what, we're about at that time, I really believe.
Thank you, Barry, for your thoughts. We're going to try Courtney again. Hi, Courtney.
All right, God bless all you saints, and I thank you for your programs this week, and especially the last part of your program today also. Parents, fathers, mothers, grandparents, guard your kids.
Yeah.
Guard your kids. And I'm going to say one thing about the caller that was before me. Saints, we got a chance to witness like never before, and we better be at our master's work. Because souls are at stake. I mean, people, you think about people going to hell forever, being tormented and able to remember that they could have been saved. Saints, we better pray for the lost and pray that they be saved and pray for our president. Please pray for him. And all I want to say is I thank God for your program. I do believe that God puts on who he wants, when he wants, and how long he wants. Pray for this program, saints, and God bless all y'all. And one more time, parents, watch out for your kids because you're responsible for their bringing up and their souls. God bless you all now.
Thank you, Courtney. Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about the Black Lives Matter movement, of which I'm not a part of.
Mm-hmm.
But the young lady who just said that, well, maybe we should let the justice system take care of it. Too many times we have seen where officers have killed both black and white people, and nothing happens to the officers. And that's not condoning the destruction, but that has to be addressed.
Hmm. Thank you, Leroy. Appreciate you raising the issue. Trevor, in Stevens Point, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say, I heard some people, some Christians talking about, like, this man, George Floyd, had a criminal record. And I just wanted to say I don't think we should be talking like that, because we all had a criminal record before Jesus saved us. And he still, he saved us, and he... knowing that we had a criminal record. So I don't think Christians should be talking. No life should be lost unfairly, you know, and that really makes me sad that even Christians talk like that.
Okay. Thank you, Trevor, for your call here today as well. Friends, I just want to conclude with a reminder to be praying for the persecuted church. And there are many issues that are going on across this, around the world right now. Great persecution is taking place. And many suffering on account of their faith. And I just want to point out to you, as Mission Network News sent out a release this week about Christians often get accused of blasphemy in Pakistan. And this is the story of Shafqat Emanuel and his wife, the couple accused of sending a text message by phone that insulted the Prophet Muhammad and insulted the Quran. Crimes of convicted demand the death penalty in Pakistan, an imam. The claims to have gotten this text while in prayer, and the attorney claims to have received similar messages while talking with the imam about the issue. But police entered his home, overpowered him, paralyzing him from the wrist down. Family was arrested, beaten, threatened until he admitted to sending, beaten until he would admit that he sent the messages. His forced admission could not possibly have sent the messages, explaining that he couldn't because he's illiterate. And that he doesn't even text in the message, the language that was propagated there. They've been in prison now for some 7 years, and they are in hopes of getting out of prison. Just be remembering them. Also, a pastor and his expectant wife also recently were killed, laid to rest last week Friday, leaving 8 children behind, reports Voice of the Martyrs. And friends, a reminder. As you see, as bad as things may be here in this nation, thank God for the freedoms that we do have, and be praying for those who are being persecuted and tortured on account of their faith in Christ. Will these times come to the United States? They may. But folks, let's stay faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.